And joining me now is Zamina. And Zamina lives in Auckland, and I believe she's had her first on experience with this Iron Brian roadshow. Oh, hi, Zamina.
Hi, how's it going?
Can you explain what you know about this roadshow that goes around telling our children, we have to eat dead animals to be healthy?
I actually didn't even know it existed until my daughter came home from school emphatically telling me that we need to eat red meat and dairy every single day to be healthy. And then when I said to her, "Well, actually, sweetheart, there's a lot of research coming out lately that shows that it's actually bad for you because the meat's too fatty and the dairy's not good for your bones and things like that." And she said, "No, Iron Brian says you have to eat it every single day." And I thought, "Christ almighty, what the hell have they been telling these kids?"
How
It
old is your daughter?
was awful. She's 6 and a half, and to put it in perspective, she's really, really thoughtful. She thinks very deeply about issues that you can talk to her about, and she's such a smart child. I wouldn't have expected her to actually be brainwashed like that.
Had
It was quite
you
frightening to
raised
me.
your children vegan, or had you ever spoken to them about veganism?
I've just got the one.
Okay.
She hasn't been raised vegan since birth, because of the circumstances that I was in, and her father's family have been really, really awesome to her and me, and they've given us a lot of help. But they are very conservative, and so they're really strong on the, if the TV says it, then it's true. You have to eat meat all the time, da da da. And so her father lives with his parents, and she goes and stays with them in the weekends. I have sort of been vegetarian on and off since I was a teenager, and when I was, up until a couple of years ago, I was getting pretty much no support. I had no resources in trying to do it. And so what would happen was, I would try and be vegetarian, get really unhealthy because I wasn't eating the right balance because I didn't really know what to do, go back and then try again. And so it's taken me a number of years, and I finally got the hang of it. And then I did that for a while and then eased into being vegan. And so that was when my daughter was little. And so she's 6 and a half now, and I've been vegan for about 2 years now.
Okay.
And I've never forced it on her, but I've always explained to her when she has asked me about it, as best you can to a child without traumatizing them with all the horrible, gory, gory bits. And at home, with me, I cook all vegan meals. She eats meat and dairy at her father's place in the weekends because, that's what they do at their house, and I don't like it personally, but that's what they do, and I can't tell them what to do. And so I'm trying to look at the positive and think, well, she's growing up seeing both sides of the equation, and she's a very smart child, and she'll be taking in all the information, and when she's old enough, she'll look at both sides and make her own mind up.
Well, I think there's a lot of hope when you look at, I live in Invercargill, and until a few years ago, I'd never heard of any vegans that lived here or anything to do with animal rights really here. And I can see the amount of vegans that seem to be moving here and other people deciding to be vegan. And I do think there's a lot of hope for quite young children as they grow up, and they're exposed to it in ways that perhaps you and I weren't, that we didn't grow up around veganism being mainstream. And that's partly why I see this as so sinister, this whole Iron Brian roadshow thing. Sort of get them while they're young, make them into future sort of customers, and they grow up and maybe they don't remember. Maybe when they're 20 they won't remember, "Oh yeah, there was this guy with blue hair and a felt costume that making minimum wage, jumping around on stage and telling us we have to do this." But it will be sort of a, it's the wrong kind of seed. If vegans are planting seeds, this is the wrong kind of seed, the one that needs to be weeded out. It's a weed.
And it's sort of, I think when you're putting it that way, two things just spring to mind. The first one is, well, flipping hell, the meat industry must be getting a bit worried to be pushing it that much. So hopefully that's actually a good sign for the vegan and vegetarian movement. And secondly, I don't know if you've ever read Fast Food Nation, but they talk
Yes.
about cradle to the grave
Yes.
advertising in there, and how, if you grow up. Like, for example, when I was a little girl, one of the toys I was big on was My Little Pony. And my daughter actually has My Little Pony now because it's like this fond childhood memory that I have. And that's the cradle to the grave thing. They bring you up on it, and, you know, they count on creating all these fond childhood memories of it. So, you know, like for the meat, it might be a sausage at a sausage sizzle, and a, you know, a ham sandwich at the beach with mum and dad or whatever. And then when they grow up, they don't think about it. They just keep doing it because, oh, you know, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed having a ham sandwich with mum and dad at the beach or getting a sausage from the sausage sizzle. And it's I find it really creepy, to be honest. Like, it's real getting in your head type stuff, isn't it?
Well, I noticed from the ads that I've seen from the beef and lamb board, and I don't like calling them that, you know. Talking about killing cattle and sheep.
Exactly. I mean, let's call it what it is.
But they never show exactly what they do to make this product. They talk about it's great, it's healthy, it's New Zealand, it's the best in the world. You need it if you're a woman, you need it for iron. If you're a boy and you want to be an All Black to play rugby, you have to have it for protein. They never say how it's made. It's just a thing that comes in a package and you're meant to buy it and make sure you buy New Zealand stuff, not the overseas stuff. So had your daughter known anything about this presentation before she saw it?
Not that I know of. She's certainly never mentioned it to me before. Again, the first I heard of it was when she came home talking about it and was talking to me about it in the car on the way home from school that day.
Wow.
I guess it's possible she could have seen something about it at her father's and talked to them about it, and I haven't heard about it because she is there every weekend, which is good. He has the involvement with her, which is great for her and that. But, yeah, I mean, she's with me all week, and I've never heard anything from her about it.
Because I have seen a press release sort of sent around some of the schools, apparently. Iron Brian is coming to school, and I guess this will be in the newsletter. The Iron Brian Barbecue Roadshow is a fun, interactive show teaching primary school children about the four basic food groups and the importance of eating a well-balanced diet, you know, brought to you by beef and lamb. The show takes
about 40... Yeah, and you listen to that and you just think, bull SHIT, you know, yeah, this healthy, balanced, yeah, right.
Coming from a source that sells itself.
Even in the newsletter.
Okay. Yeah, it takes about 45 minutes, at the end of which all children will be served a healthy, heart-tick-approved beef and salad burger. And it mentions Iron Brian was developed by Beef and Lamb New Zealand because young New Zealand children have surprisingly high rates of iron deficiency. Iron deficiency can have a detrimental impact on concentration and energy levels, which can hamper children's learning at a critical age. Iron Brian is visiting your school soon. For more information, please contact your child's teacher.
I was just thinking as you were reading the part about Iron Brian was developed because it should read Iron Brian was developed because we are going to use scaremongering tactics because our profits are falling because more people are realising that abusing and violently killing animals is wrong and are deciding not to buy our products anymore. So we need to brainwash little kids.
Yeah,
it's awful, but oh god.
Well, I've seen some of the videos of it, and they only have a 2 minute sort of excerpt, and it's sort of edited and produced from the 45 minute long show, and they have music and songs apparently, and lots of sort of singing and dancing, and they give out prizes. And I looked at some of the emails I've been seeing from other parents who've found their children going to it. They have all kinds of competitions and things, and apparently one of the questions that they asked had an answer of meat and dairy. That was the answer. And they got a prize, which was a ball that said, I love beef and lamb. And you know, it's just crazy. The parent mentions that they changed that to I love cows and lambs. It's really weird. I mean, the video is lots of clapping, and they give them caps saying New Zealand beef and lamb on it, and afterwards they get a burger, and it's quite odd.
Yeah. My daughter did mention that, you know, there was a little stage play and it was the character and they did games and things, and she didn't mention the meat sample at the end or anything, but I mean, she would have just figured, oh, food, oh well, why bother telling mum about it? Because, I mean, she gets food from the school tuck shop anyway, so it's sort of, you know, now and then for a treat, so I don't think she would have thought anything of it if she'd been given a free sample, and especially not if they were giving it to all the kids. Yeah.
So, another thing, do you know, you've mentioned that she came home and she was quite adamant. What did she think about after seeing all this sort of brainwashing, you know, sorry, roadshow, encouraging healthy eating?
She just seemed really taken in by it, to be honest. And, you know, thinking about it, that actually really scares me because, as I said before, she is a really thoughtful child. She thinks deeply. You know, like, for example, when she was about four, that was when, yeah, she was, would have been about 4 and a half. That was when Safe started doing the adverts on TV about the factory farmed pigs. And I was talking to one of my friends about factory farmed versus so-called free range. And my daughter overheard us and said, you know, in her four-year-old accent, "Mum, what does fee mange mean?" And I explained to her as best I could without being too, you know, because there's some things that they don't need to know until they're a bit older. You don't want to traumatise them, but you want them to know what's happening. And I sort of explained the best I could about how the pigs are kept in the cages and they can't move and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, okay, Mum. And she wandered off without saying anything. And I thought, oh, well, that was it. She's just going to go and play. About a week later, we're in the car, and from the back seat, all of a sudden, "Mum, I don't want to eat meat anymore. I only want to eat meat if it's fee mange." And she'd been thinking about it and processing this for a week. You know, so this is the sort of person that she is. This is the sort of child that she is. And so it really, really scares me that they were able to present it in a way that even a child who is really intelligent for her age, like she's reading about 3.5 years ahead of her age group, for example. She's really smart. She thinks really deeply and always has for, you know, as long as she was able to talk, she has been thinking that deeply about things. And yet they were able to present this in a way that basically brainwashed her. That scares me as a parent.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I noticed you mentioned the free range and sort of things, and I think I do worry about if we do focus on the treatment, and it can be quite upsetting for small children, I think. When I talk, I haven't admittedly spoken with many 4.5-year-olds about veganism yet. There's always time, you know. I like focusing on sort of friendly things, and I talk about my chicken friends, the chickens I know and love, and I don't want them to be my pets or anything. They're my little friends. I love them very much. And they live free in the backyard, and we never take their eggs or anything, and they're just happy, and we love them as we might love a cat or dog or anyone else. So as we are starting to move away from talking about the treatment and to talk about veganism and to respect and love others for who they are, you know, someone, not something.
Exactly.
It is scary to think that they can sort of step up, the big animal exploiting industries, you could say, they can step it up and they can jump on the little kids. And the bit that really interested me was that that children would come home and tell their parents and they'd sort of, that this is a sort of a role model or a reputable organisation, maybe. It comes across that way. And I do think about it a lot and how it just doesn't seem ethical at all, I think.
No.
For any company, though, really, regardless of the ethics, you know, it's not just about killing our friends versus not killing our friends. Do you think it's really acceptable for any company to go around the schools nationwide and promote their product as basically, you know, you've got to do this if you want to be healthy? I think even if it was apples, you know, the New Zealand Apple Board saying, "Hey kids, you have to have apples if you want to be strong." I think even that would be a bit weird, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that's ethical at all. And that was, you know, there's several things that really upset me about it. And that was one of them. You know, and the fact that they presented it as truth when it's not, it's a point of view, a very, very biased, and, you know, personally, I've looked at both sides of it. You know, I've done as much research as I can do of the studies from both sides of this, and that was part of the reason I went vegan in the first place. To me, the point of view that they have presented is wrong. It's simply not true that eating basically dead bodies every single day is healthy and animal secretions every day. And so they've come in and presented a very, very biased point of view as truth to impressionable 5 and 6 and 7 year old children. And they have impressionable minds anyway. They're like sponges. They soak up everything even when you think they're not listening. My daughter has come to me and mentioned things that I've said when I've thought that she's in the other room not able to hear what I'm saying before. You know, they soak everything up. And it really, really disturbed me. And I think, well, they shouldn't be doing that in the first place. But I think if they are going to do that, then they should have someone from the other perspective come in and present their point of view as well. So you're getting both sides. Because otherwise you're getting a really one-sided view, and it's not accurate. And it's, I don't think it's fair to the kids either, because kids aren't stupid. They're just impressionable. You know, kids are really smart, and I don't think that adults give them enough credit for that. And I think it's disrespectful to their intelligence as small human beings to actually brainwash them like that either.
Well, I'd love to see what it'd be like if an animal rights advocate would go to the school and they'd talk with the parents first, because I do think it would be, I think the parents should know about things like this before it happens, regardless of perspective. And I think it would be quite interesting if, say, someone went to speak about an animal rights point of view, and the parents would be able to meet with the person beforehand, because I realise that, you know, less than 1% of the population apparently is vegan, and maybe animal rights activists is going to talk to the kids. That sounds quite scary. Just as to us, you know, the Beef and Lamb Corporation, the board, speaking to children about buying their product, buying into their way of thinking, their brainwashing. It's the same thing for both sides. I guess they could see it both ways.
Yeah.
I think if the parents had a chance to meet the person and to ask questions and to even attend, which I think would be great, talk, and just, I think it would be great to see a vegan speaking about, hey, we love other animals, they're our friends, and we've grown up believing it's okay to kill them, but let's move away from that and let's respect others.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what children wouldn't be sort of open to that and to realise, shows like Vegan Freaks mentioned that we all sort of loved animals growing up, and we grew up with them in storybooks and fairy tales, and they were all our friends, and maybe we grow up from that, and some of us haven't. They still talk about their chicken friends. they just talk about, you know, chicken friends turn into fried chicken, you know. It's just very simple.
Yeah, and it's really quite disturbing when you look at it, and there definitely is, you know, among the adults of Western society, basically, there is this massive disconnect. You know, the majority of people, okay, when I go to the supermarket, I can't cope with walking past the meat section because I see butchered carcasses. You know, I see pain and fear and terror and suffering, and it upsets me no end. I actually avoid, you know, the local Pack and Save on down the road from me. You have to actually walk through that section to get to the rest of the supermarket. It's the produce section, then the carcasses section. I'm not going to call it meat because, you know, that's just putting a nice name on it to avoid being what it really is. It's carcasses, and that's what you have to go through there. I go up to Countdown because that section is at the back and you don't have to go near it if you don't want to. And so that's what I see. But then in contrast, most adults just see, oh, it's a slab of yummy red stuff. You know, and so there's this huge disconnect. And so it's actually no wonder that most people are teaching their kids, oh, it's okay to eat that. Because there's this huge disconnect, and there's no connect in their mind between the slab of red stuff as a non-human person's flesh, and that non-human person was really horribly abused and was killed violently and experienced nothing but pain and fear and suffering for the duration of their short life.
I mean, I found being vegan is so liberating to just realise the truth about things and to know things what they are, and not to use different terms like meat and flesh. You know, I'd say flesh or dead animals or other animals, you know, to try and make it always realise that human beings are animals and that we're no different. And yeah, but I live close to a dairy processing factory, they call themselves Blue River Dairy. And I think, well, New Zealand's rivers aren't exactly blue anymore, and it's because of the so-called dairy industry. You know, they're sort of more brown, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
And I live near the Waituna Lagoon, which is, they talk about the pollution from so-called dairy farmers there, from all the nutrients, they mean the cow poo. They call it nutrients, you know. How do they get away with that? But I walk past a butcher shop on my way home each day, and quite often they have whole animals dead on the backs of utes and things being dropped off to be chopped up. And they leave a trail of blood behind the ute, and you can see it on the road. You can see blood, like droplets, all down the road. And the dairy factory, I've seen it overflowed before, and they sort of dump it in the gutters, and you get the thing that looks sort of like margarine as it congeals. You know, I just think it's important that we can tell our kids about veganism, that there's no sort of ethical difference between taking a mother's milk and, you know, from a cow, and keeping her pregnant and things, and you don't have to go into the nuts and bolts of how they force her into a pregnancy. But
I've basically explained what happens to my daughter. I've said, you know, the cows are made to be pregnant, and the babies are stolen from them anywhere between a few hours and a couple of days old, so that humans can steal their milk.
It's certainly something to think about, just as our whole economy seems to rely on that, though, and as we moved away from killing sheep, as it became less profitable for wool, and as well as their dead bodies, and then we moved on to dairy farmers, they call it dairy conversions in my area of Southland. And it does have hope, though, as the money changes, you know, as the economy changes, as there's more money to be made in other ways, that we can change as a society. And I certainly think that things like this Iron Brian character certainly aren't helping, are they?
No, but again, I think that it really is a sign of desperation from the animal abuse industry. I really do, because, again, if you think about it, how desperate must they be if they have to try and brainwash little children into buying the carcasses? They are realising that the vegan movement is slowly growing, and I think they're scared. From our point of view, I think that's a real positive. So as disturbed as I have been by this Iron Brian show and my daughter's reaction to it, I think that it is a positive sign for us, really.
Well, I've seen another movement, and it's the dairy industry, NZ Dairy, and they've got this cow called Rosie, a computer-animated cow, and I haven't seen the ads on TV yet, but they're all over the internet, and I noticed them on the New Zealand Herald site, and calling herself a cowbassador, and supposedly she's teaching kids how we have the best dairy industry in the world, and it gives you strong bones and everything, and it even has little games for kids to play where they own their own little farm, and they get to put fences up, and it's like, yay, you know, what do the fences do? Oh, that's to keep the animals in, because, you know, they're trying to escape if they could, if it wasn't for the fence. And I just think it's great, and thank you very much for joining me, Zamina. It was great to
Not
talk
a problem.
To you, and
yeah.
I'm glad to hear there's so much hope for the future young and children that ask questions and that think about these issues, and hopefully as long as we always have the answer of veganism out there, that we can talk to people of all ages about veganism, and that we can respect other animals.
Yeah, and you know what? There are resources to talk to children about it. I had a book out from the library a while back for her. I think it was called This Is Why We Don't Eat Animals, and I've seen it, they sell it in the Safe shop, I've seen it in there, and you know, you can talk to the kids about it as well, and there's a lot of awesome parents in the vegan community who are bringing and have brought their kids up vegan, and the kids have been perfectly healthy and are well balanced and everything, and I just think it's really, really important to keep talking to the kids and letting them know there is an alternative, because it's so pushed on us. There's ads on TV and there's this Iron Brian thing in the schools, and it's just it's important to show them the other side too.
Well, I do too. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for calling.